Talk Radio, giving you the tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Green.
Welcome to Thought Thursday here on Awakened Path Radio. For more information about Awakened Path Radio and show updates, courses, workshops, events, resources, and more, please visit www.awakenedpathonline.com. Again, that's www.awakenedpathonline.com. Now on to today's show. Today we have with us Ann Kate Sullivan, who is an award-winning and best-selling author focusing on mythology and folklore for the modern age. Dr. Sullivan obtained her bachelor's in honors at Hollins University, her master's and doctorate in literature from Columbia University in King's College, London. She currently lives in Virginia with her husband and a variety of pets, including a herd of horses. Her educational experiences, coupled by life, led her into the study and practice of what makes one whole. After obtaining her master's in spiritual psychology in 2006, she began offering private lessons. She also loves to take initiatives on vision quests to discover their inner grail or true nature. Welcome to our show today, Anne. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Now, would you tell us, I know in the introduction we talked about a little bit about your background, but could you tell us a little bit about your journey to doing the work that you do today?
People often ask where this begins, and you know, I have to say that for me, it began here in Virginia with my grandmother. My family has a farm, a legacy farm that's been mm-hmm. in the family for a long time. And she used to tell me stories as she would stir her pot. She was making a soup or something and the steam would rise. And she would start to tell me stories of the knights of Northumbria and mm-hmm. the brave men and women that came over on the ship. I found out later was called the Safety and the great pioneering spirit. So I would say when I was a little kid, my imagination really got stirred up. And so later on, I was fortunate enough to be given a overseas research award to King's College London. And I got to go and I spent 11 years at that particular point in time going through the British and Irish countryside, collecting folklore and grail legend.
That is so interesting. And it's such a wonderful experience just to be able to have, you know, to travel and to write as well. So that's great. Now you go ahead.
I just was saying, you know, sometimes when we're really supposed to do something, when it's mm-hmm. truly our life purpose and mission, if you get on the right path, it's like the red carpet rolls out, you know, because I've tried to do anything else, it doesn't work, you know, but as long as I stay on that path, I really get the red carpet treatment.
mm-hmm. Now, you also, I'm just going to fix my mic a little bit, we're having problems. Okay, there we are. All right, you have a children's book series, Sparkle, and it's very unique, and you know, and what you offer. Could you just tell us a little bit about your children's series?
Yes. So when my children were growing up, I wrote them all a series of stories, and usually I give it to them during the holidays. And one particular day, I had a friend named Belcro Ducray, and she was over in my daughter's bedroom. We were doing some interior design, and I come into the room because she's sobbing her eyes out, you know. I thought someone had died. I didn't know what had happened. You know, so I'm, and she goes, "I just found your children's stories, and they're so beautiful. Can I illustrate them?" And So we dug them all out and looked at them, and the kids had done them with like little stick figures and so forth, you know. And so she did them with these beautiful illustrations, and my kids who are, you know, now off in college, were overjoyed because they said their friends really needed the series, because the whole series is about a girl named Sarah, but she won't call herself Sarah. She calls herself Sparkle because she doesn't want her light to go out. You know, in that time, you know, it's around about 8 or 9, 10 years old where it's been okay to believe in fairies and folktale. Yeah. It's been okay to be different or colorful. Mm-hmm. And about that time, the kids start saying, oh, you got to grow up. You know, this stuff is make-believe. And so it's about that time period where, it's okay. Don't give up your wondrous child. Mm-hmm. Don't give up your sparkle. That's what it's about.
And what a great message as well. It's society forces us, or tries to pressure us, in other words, tries to pressure us to growing up, to get rid of our creativity, our imagination, our belief in the mystical and all of that. And then we become these boring adults who work and have no imagination and are working to pay bills and are not really enjoying the full, are really living a one-dimensional life. And
I wonder where that shifted, you know, like what period did that shift? Because in the old tradition of the bards that I was studying in England and Ireland, you know, to be a bard at that point, and this is, you know, we're talking about thousands of years ago up until about, well, I guess there still are bards, but now we have internet. But anyway, for this, you know, if you were really a bard, you would know 250 stories of your people. Mm-hmm. Whoever your people would be, you would know your world mythology, right? Or the mythology of your region. And you would know the story of the old woman of the world, you know? And you would, if you were in crisis, you would go to her, you know, you would find her in her cave or her cavern, and you would talk to the old woman of the world, who would stir her pot with all the seeds of life inside of it. And she might cackle or smile, or she might grimace. You never know how she will appear. But you would have these inner allies and inner friends that would be with you for your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, difficult things happen. We have inner allies. They're real.
That is so true. And there's nothing wrong with believing in it, because it's true. If we allow ourselves to stop adulting, you know, for lack of a better word, and actually embrace who we truly are at our core. I mean, imagine the possibilities, you know, imagine what we will see. We will see the gnomes and the fairies, and we will see, you know, we will have communications with our guides and spiritual allies and things like that. But when we cut it off, we become dismal, and it's very sad.
I think what happens is we become disempowered, and who knows, maybe there was an agenda behind that. I don't know.
Right.
But I do know, if we get in touch with our inner creativity, that we can really do anything. We could heal this world.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's limitless possibilities. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a work, a collection called Legends of the Grail. You mentioned about your travels and about, you know, studying the Grail and stuff like that. Could you give us a little information about your collection, Legends of the Grail?
So Legends of the Grail is a three-part series. There are two books out right now. The first is Stories of Celtic Goddesses, and they're mostly goddesses from Ireland. And the second one is called Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales, and those are mostly British heroines and goddesses. Yes.
And you mentioned goddesses, or you have goddesses in your work. So what significant role do goddesses play in the pieces that you've written?
So this is a fun story. When I was at King's College London, you know, we talk about adulting and going dry and so forth. I was doing some lecturing and working as an editor, and my magic was starting to dim. And I was starting to feel a little depressed, and I thought, well, you know, I don't have any reason to be depressed, really. It's just, but I wanted to find the feminine face of the divine. And so I'd heard about this place called Glastonbury, which was in Somerset, southwestern England, and that there was a famous well there. And I decided to make a pilgrimage there. And I went a few times, but I think maybe it was the third time I went, I was sitting and I was really asking to feel something or see something or have an insight. And if you have to, this place is really lovely. It was put together by a guy named Tudor Pole after mm-hmm. World War II. He had a vision of this particular sacred park, and there's a well, and some people say that the priestesses of Avalon, the priestesses of this area mm-hmm. called the Glass Isle, were sometimes dropped into this well and they would come back out as magical beings. And so there are all kinds of stories about it. They also say that the first church was built just near there too by mm-hmm. Joseph of Arimathea. So it's very potent. It's sort of the Jerusalem of Britain. And so I'm sitting by this well, and you know, I'm sure if anybody was looking at me, they thought I was in meditation, but something else was going on inside. And I was really beginning to feel the presence of the Divine Mother. It was very strong, and I could smell roses. I felt so much love, just incredible amount of love. And that was sort of my first mystical experience with the Divine Feminine. And you can call her goddess or mother or anything, but that was the first time I began to feel that and go, oh my goodness, I really do have an ally. I suppose we all do if we make the time to really listen and feel and allow her to come to us.
That is so true. We get stuck up in the material world and we forget to pay attention to the natural world that surrounds us. You know, the old phrase, stop and smell the roses. Well, it's more than just that. And I mean, and it is a correct phrase. What it's telling us to do is just take a moment. Take a moment mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it just be. And when we don't do that, because our nature is to connect with nature, and because society tells us that that's crazy and we're nobody if we don't work, we often get confused and we go about the business of work, and you head down into the, you know, head down and working and not looking at what we are supposed to, not embracing the world around us. That's when we end up miserable and we don't know why. We give it so many names. This is why I'm miserable. I have this disease. I have this symptom. And really, if we just stopped and embrace nature and just be, mm-hmm. possibly it could be possible. We'll see that our, you know, ideas of a depression, for example, will go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we're disconnected from the natural world, we really can go into despair. In the Celtic tradition, they call it entering the wasteland. And that's where in these tales you begin to find some of the goddesses. And when I did my doctorate, I was told that if I studied the work of Lady Gregory, I would get a full ride. So, of course, I said yes without really knowing what I was getting into. but she was marvelous. She was the patron of a very famous poet named W.B. Yeats. Mm. And she lived in Western Ireland. And she was Anglo-Irish, but she really believed in Ireland. And the language, she loved the Gaelic language. And so she was actually one of the people responsible for bringing Irish back into the schools. And if you go to Ireland now, you'll see that most of the signs are in Gaelic and English. So she was a nationalist. And she started the Abbey Theatre and put on the plays of the sort of regional plays. Now, you know, before 1917, if you did this sort of thing, you'd be killed. There was a movement for a long time to wipe out the Irish stories, this, you know, the Gaelic culture. So she was really interested in bringing it back. And in going through her work, she would get a pony and trap, and this is early 1900s. She would go through the countryside and she would collect the tales of the area. Mm. And the people loved her and trusted her, and they would tell her the stories of the fairies and the leprechauns and these goddesses and so forth. So I was I got to go to some of these places and you know, sit by these old Turlaghs, which are seasonal lakes, and mm-hmm. and sort of sit there and imagine and go, I can really imagine fairies here, you know. So I can understand how W.B. Yeats would write about this. And then I started to realize that in that landscape, and I think it's true everywhere, but particularly there, it's easy to tap into, that there are goddesses that are connected to different hills or valleys or springs. And so I started learning their stories, and they were fabulous. And in the Celtic tradition, a man cannot rule as a king or a hero or a leader unless his woman deems it so. She has to say, yes, you're worthy to be the leader. Otherwise, forget it. And they said, a man in battle is one thing, but a man and his woman in battle, forget it. You might as well go home.
True words.
I loved the equality that I found in those stories. Mm. And there's really some great ones, like in this Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses. There's one, a Scottish goddess, but in Cuchulain is the hero, one of the heroes, and he wants to become a great, like the Ireland's greatest hero. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to marry this woman, Emer. And her father says, well, look, you know, the only way this is going to happen, you can only marry the beauty of the land if you go to Skyach. And so mm-hmm. He has to get in his boat, his curragh, and he has to go to the Isle of Skye. And then there's a bucking bridge, and then there's a gap, and he has to jump 22 feet across this ravine in order to get to Skyach, who's standing there with a dagger waiting for him. And she's reading his future. Does he have what it takes? Is he going to, you know, am I going to give him my magic? And that's what's so lovely with these goddesses, because if they deem the hero worthy, then they take off running, and they show the hero the natural world. They show them how the air works, you know, how the magic of the water, the watery places. They show them how the earth lives and thrives, and they're lovely tales.
That's beautiful. Now, your stories have been said to heal the reader as they read them. For example, you have a book, A Story of Becoming. Now, how do you accomplish healing the reader as they read them?
Well, the Story of Becoming is an interesting one, and I wrote it just as a whim for my kids. And that's actually become my best-selling book. Wow. I think there have been 250,000 downloads, and nice. it's done incredibly well. And it's won 18 literary awards now, which is fantastic. Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't picked up as a children's book, even though I published it that way. It was picked up as a fairy tale for all ages. And that was the book that Belle was holding when she was really crying, you know, she was really talking about this. Mm-hmm. And several women got together and started talking about it, because they had been, well, you know, we're in the Me Too movement now. Mm-hmm. People are starting to share about all the things that have happened to them, you mm-hmm. know, in this world. And so the story is about a tree, and she doesn't know who she is. She's this little seed. And then, you know, the rains come, and she starts to grow, and she's curious, and there are all these other plants. And one day there's a puddle in front of her, and she can see that she's this little sapling, and she's very excited. And then the deer come, and they look at her, and she goes, look, I'm so beautiful and balanced and lovely. And they eat her, you know. Whoa. So so there she is again. Like, okay, we're gonna try again here. And she has to go. And I think this is where the healing starts to come, because you realize when something happens to you, you have to go deep inside your own true nature and find your inner resources again, find your balance and your harmony again, give yourself time, and then you can give yourself expression again. So the tree, the next spring, the tree comes, and now she's got apples, and she grows, and she's got these beautiful red apples. And over the years, people come and they pick her red apples, and she's very happy. And then one night, there's a terrible storm. and the lightning's going and the thunder, and then she's struck by lightning, and she rises up behind her tree, and she can see this terrible scar through her trunk, and she thinks that it's all over, that she's gone. But in the morning when the sun rises, she's still there. She has a scar, but she's still there. But there's one difference. Her apples aren't red anymore. They're golden.
Oh my.
And now she has miracle apples. And when people come to pick her apples, their wishes and their dreams come true. And then people start talking about the tree and that there's this miracle tree and that the wishes and dreams come true. And the local establishment doesn't like this because miracles are rubbish, right? So they dig up the tree.
Oh, no. I was just feeling good.
I know. And they take her off to an institution and study her. And they pick off all of her apples and her leaves and they say, nope, she's just a regular old apple tree, just like every other. And they throw her out. But she has one little dried up golden apple. So she makes a wish for herself that someone who has been helped by her in the past will hear her prayer and will come and collect her. And so people start coming and they find her and they put her in their truck and they take her back to her meadow that has cried so much that it's turned into a lake, and they plant her by the edge of this lake. And her wishes continue to spread with her baby apple trees. So if you're ever lucky enough to find your way to the miracle tree, just get down on your knees and make the greatest wish that lives in your heart, because the miracle tree is listening.
That is a beautiful story. I love it. I love it. I felt emotional, you know, going through her getting, you know, the deer eating her and all. Oh my goodness. That's a beautiful story. Now, I mean, we could talk all day, but unfortunately we don't have all day. So, do you have any like words of wisdom that you would like to bestow upon our listening audience today?
Well, just something very simple. I think wherever you are in your life, never give up your wondrous child. Never give up your inner sparkle. That if you keep asking questions and you stay curious and you drop and you forgive people and just drop, you know, whatever's happened in the past, just let it fall away like a cloak. Leave it like a suitcase. Forgive it, because you free yourself, and just invite in your wondrous child and keep going. Because we live on a marvelous planet, a really beautiful planet. And if we can just put our feet in the soil and find ourselves right here and now, my goodness, this whole place can transform, and we can with it.
That is beautiful. And, you know, I've heard somewhere that probably read it some millions of times, that we should look upon the world as with childlike wonder. I mean, children are great at forgiving. They're great at imagination. So when we become adults, we lose it. Now, do you have any upcoming projects? I know you're always writing books or anything that you would like to tell us about.
There's a third book in this series that will be coming soon. And there's another book in the Sparkle series coming soon. And I sometimes take people on quests. I'm getting ready for the quests in 2020 now for people interested in a heroine's quest in Ireland. Probably the next one will be in the UK. And then I work with some writers and other people who are working on, especially people with spiritual stories. I'm mostly interested in people who are waking up and on their own quest. So I do that. And I own a publishing company too. I'm very picky, but occasionally we'll take people if they have a wonderful spiritual book. Right. So, yes.
Awesome. So, I mean, you do so many things, and I mean, right. I know my head is exploding with all the ideas that you're talking about today. And I imagine our listeners are too. So how would we get in touch with you or to learn more about the work that you do, your quest, buy your books, etc.?
My I'm easy to find. My first name is spelled A-Y-N. And so usually if you just Google A-Y-N, I'll pop up. But my website is annkatesullivan.com. So A-Y-N-C-A-T-E-S-S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. So AnnKateSullivan.com, and you can see my books. I've got, I think there are 12 books on the site there, and you can listen to audios. There are loads of stories and audios you can listen to. You can sign up for my newsletter, and that keeps you updated on the quests and different things that are happening. Sometimes I do workshops and things too, and so that's the way to keep updated, or you can go to my events page also. And I love feedback. I love it when people read a book and they go, I love the story of Kaysera, and you know, whatever. It just I love hearing from people. So thank
fantastic.
You
fantastic. And we'll have that website in the write-up about the show, so in case people haven't written it down, it'll also be in the show link. So, Anne, it was such a pleasure having you on today's show. You were very inspirational, and just keep doing the great work that you're doing. This planet needs it.
Thank you. Thank you. And you too. You too. It was great to team up.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you.
Joining us on Awakened Path Radio. Please check us out at www.awakenedpathonline.com. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Green, and you are listening to Awakened Path Radio, giving you tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. Namaste and blessed be.